Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Darrell Clark tomorrow on the show. Patrick Chambers, Bill O'Brien, Matt McGloin, all part of the mix tomorrow. Plus, we'll revisit Jim Delaney's comments about Rutgers and Maryland. So many comments by Jim Delaney about Penn State and the bridge they created. We're the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, as I mentioned in the open today. Nicknamed the Chateau by Jack Ham himself. And we're opening up the Lenape Solar Hotline. Of course, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. About to use it by calling out. I call out to my good friend Malcolm Moran. And Malcolm, first of all, thanks for everything you've done here at Penn State. Of course, your great experience with Chicago Tribune, USA Today, New York Times. I mean, you've been around and seen things I think other people dream about being at. And I just want to wish you, first of all your best when you start in January. We go to Indiana University as you go now to Bloomington. Malcolm, great to have you on board.
Thank you. Thanks. It's good to be with you. We're living in interesting times.
Hey, we are living in interesting times. This week has been a week where we saw Rutgers, well, Maryland first, then Rutgers on Monday and Tuesday, respectively, get entrance into the Big Ten. Definitely July 1st, 2014 for Maryland. Rutgers still to be determined as a 27-month plan, which if you raise your buyout number, you can get it to July 1st, 2014, as you and I both know. Malcolm, what's next?
Well, I think if you were going to put your chips on a 16-team Big Ten, you look pretty smart now. I mean, I remember several years ago when I first started hearing conversations that a number of leagues, including the Big Ten, could ultimately be going towards 16 sooner rather than later. I mentioned it in class one day, and I just said, what would you think of a 16-team Big Ten conference? And I wish I had taken a picture of the looks I got. They were looking like I had landed from some other planet. I would say if you're going to identify somebody, that if I'm John Swofford, I'd get on the phone right now to make sure you're in line with the rest of us.
Atlanta. I think
you got it. You got it.
Georgia Tech.
I had heard that if Maryland was paired with somebody, that it would be more likely to be Georgia Tech than anybody else. So the fact that, I understand the thinking that Rutgers in some limited way might deliver the New York market. That has not been my observation. In 06, the Empire State Building was scarlet for one night, that night that they beat Louisville and that high-profile game on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
I almost drove off the New Jersey Turnpike when I saw that. I'm not putting down the institution. It's a great institution. But when measured by the Big Ten standard, there's a lot of work to be done. And clearly the gamble here is that the attractions that will be coming either to campus or the Meadowlands or both will cause the institution to up its game athletically, and that in the long run, there will be enough interest to justify it.
Something, though, that is interesting that I think is under the radar a bit is News Corp, which owns Fox,
absolutely,
owns Wall Street Journal, now has bought a minority interest in the YES Network. And, of course, you and I both know it's a pairing cable. Okay? Fox has 51% of the Big Ten Network. Does that play a role because News Corp, which of course also owns Fox, has now bought minority interest in YES, and that pairing of putting the Big Ten where they'll triple the fee for cable systems to
unquestionably, unquestionably. I mean, clearly, the success that ESPN has enjoyed has inspired other places to try to take it on. Fox/News Corp being one of them, Comcast being another. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that Fox owned the BCS, with the exception of the Rose, which always had the ABC/ESPN contract. Well, just a few minutes ago, ESPN announced that it has entered into a 12-year agreement with the playoff system that will begin in January of 15. And so ESPN and all of its platforms will now own the postseason in college football through the games of January of 26. So what we're seeing is the jockeying for position. And institutions of higher learning have become the poker chips. And I just think it's becoming a high-stakes game. And, you know, and what I the other factor that has not really been paid attention to yet, but I think ultimately can emerge, is the relationships within conferences that are tied to the agendas for schools coming on board. And what I mean is, when you've read and heard about all these conferences having serious differences of opinion that threaten their existence, as we saw with the Big 12 a little over a year ago.
Texas, yeah.
To me, the thing that has helped the Big 10 sidestep those hazards is that from the mid-50s until a couple of years ago, the Big 10 added one member. There was one member added in roughly a half century,
right,
in between Michigan State and Nebraska,
right,
that being Penn State.
Right.
I mean, now you have this cluster of schools coming in, and I think the Big 12 is a cautionary tale. I think the ACC has become a cautionary tale. I mean, you have an ACC audience that for years has been dissatisfied with the fact that the traditional basketball round robin has gone the way of the dodo bird.
Well, exactly. Maryland people will tell you that they were upset that there were two designated home and away rivals in the ACC. It was going to be Virginia and Pitt, and that didn't light them up.
Right, exactly. And that's why I thought, when I started hearing, I mean, it must have been 2 or 3 years ago, that Maryland could be in the mix, I just thought it would be a very tough sell, because you've got generations of people that went to that school whose mindset, not just athletically, but the way that they view themselves as an institution, has been built around Duke, Carolina, Virginia, to a slightly lesser extent, Wake. I mean, there was a wonderful scene at the Barclays Center the other night when Maryland was playing Kentucky, and they showed somebody in a Kentucky T-shirt on the scoreboard, and the Maryland people booed. And then they showed somebody in a Maryland T-shirt and the Kentucky people booed. And then they showed some kid in a Duke T-shirt, and everybody booed. I mean, that's how Maryland people view themselves.
Right.
And, I mean, I just thought this is going to be a very tough sell. And, you know, and clearly the strategy is, I mean, this is looking out over decades. I mean, this is not a 3 to 5 year thing. And the people that made these decisions will be long gone when it becomes clear at whatever point down the road whether this was a success or not.
Is the Big Ten helped in that potential squabbling which we've seen within the Big 12? Are they helped by, obviously, the money tree in this, and also by the CIC, which very few people talk about, but you're talking about like-minded academic institutions that are in the AAU, and the CIC garners about $7 billion in research money a year. Does that help keep the group together very quietly that a lot of people don't realize?
It might, but I mean, I would suggest, you know, watching all this from a certain distance now, that consortium was a much higher priority in the minds of Penn State officials in the early 90s than it is with Rutgers and Maryland now.
Got it.
Not that it should be discounted, but I mean, here are two programs that have been hemorrhaging money and teams.
Right, that Maryland $4.5 million in losses, and the seven teams going. Rutgers shed teams years ago, and they have a building expenditure deficit right now.
And so, after all these highly publicized economic issues, here comes the ultimate gravy train.
Right.
And that's what I mean about why institutions become part of conferences and how that can influence differences of opinion down the road. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, for instance, that in the late 90s, when Notre Dame was seriously talking to the Big Ten, just about the only people in the Notre Dame community that were excited about the possibility were people on the academic side.
Yeah. The faculty senate voted yes on the Big Ten. The Board of Trustees did not.
Right. And ultimately, I was told after the fact that trustees were getting letters, and these were not written in crayon. These were letters from influential donors and other friends to the university that had a similar theme, and that was, they turned us down in 1926. How dare you talk to them now? That's
wow.
How deeply the animosity grew. But the people on the academic side saw the potential that the consortium offered, particularly on the graduate level. That was one of a number of things that I learned through paying attention to that process that I had not known before, that Notre Dame on the graduate level is not viewed the same way as the excellence of the undergraduate program. And the hope there was that the Big Ten would allow them to get to that place.
And Notre Dame is Notre Dame is not a member of the AAU.
Correct. Correct. And neither is Nebraska, by the way.
What? They were when they were
correct.
Invited, but I guess there's correct. Something with the medical center that they're trying to clear up to get back in.
Right. Right. But for instance, when I asked a person that was part of these kind of conversations, what about Connecticut? If you're looking for an Eastern presence, what about Connecticut? And clearly, the fact that Connecticut is not an AAU institution at this point was working against it. If you look at athletic programming, I don't think anybody would argue with, for instance, in the idea of Connecticut men's and especially women's basketball on a network that is committed to female sports and its programming. You couldn't ask for a much better attraction than the Connecticut women.
Right.
But the fact that it was not an AAU institution apparently explains why Connecticut is not getting in. And, now obviously the speculation is that Connecticut would go to the ACC.
Right. And Georgia Tech most assuredly is. They fit the profile that the Big Ten is looking at.
Well, and athletically, Tech on both the football and basketball fronts, if you go back over the last 20, 25 years, has been far more relevant than Rutgers.
Right.
The Rutgers women did have that great run. But in terms of football, Maryland football has had serious attendance issues, despite the fact that the university has invested a lot in upgrading the facility and expanding it. But, to me, that's the gamble. Maryland football and Rutgers football have been underachievers in second-tier leagues, and in terms of the following in their markets, afterthought would be an unfair word, but they've hardly commanded their markets on the college level.
Right. Yeah, in fact, Maryland's attendance for Florida State, and here's Florida State, one of the top 10 teams ranked in the country, was 33,000. You mentioned Swofford needs to be on his game here. And of course, everyone's worried about being an endangered species. In the era of super conferences, Should the NCAA be worried about a breakaway?
Well, I go back to, you know, the panel discussion we had on October 3rd, you know, which included two former NCAA presidents, Gene Corrigan and Cedric Dempsey. And they both acknowledged, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I think it would be fair to characterize it as a strong possibility that there would either be the creation of another division, which would primarily consist of, you know, the so-called football elite, or possibly breaking away. I mean, it appears that the only thing that has prevented it from happening to this point is the basketball, and the fact that, you know, the Butler or Gonzaga factor adds a lot to the tournament.
But it does, but you know what? But you know what's always concerned the big schools, though? What's concerned the big schools, though, is that their vote is equal to Belmont when they vote on something, and that's bugged them forever.
Oh, sure. And really, the question is, and when I wasn't a math major, Steve, but I can figure this one out. If you're taking a big pile of money and you're dividing it 100 ways or less as opposed to 300 and something ways,
right?
I mean, if you're part of that elite group, which one would you prefer?
Exactly. You want the one with fewer pieces of pie to distribute. That's why expansion is interesting, because when the Big Ten is expanded, when they expanded to Penn State, even though there were more slices of pie, everybody got a larger slice. When Nebraska came in, because of the Big Ten championship game now becoming a reality, and that's what they created, okay, then everybody again got a larger slice. And the key is, with 16 million new households within the footprint, which means they can charge triple on Big Ten network fees on cable, on Comcast, and Time Warner, the idea is that everybody's going to get bigger slices of pie this time too.
And to me, that's the genius of this, that you can dilute your product and make lots more money.
Right, exactly.
Is this a great country or what?
I mean, and that's the remarkable thing out of all this. You can dilute it because 12 is a great number to work with. 14 is a very difficult number to work with. 16, yeah, as the WAC showed us, very difficult to work with. Do we, in the end, end up with four? Because Larry Scott, you and I both know, Larry Scott is extremely aggressive. And he is not going to sit still through all this thing. You know, Mike Slive is not going to sit still. Everybody's looking to hit home runs. Do you see in the end four super conferences or five super conferences of 16, from 64 to 80 teams involved?
I would say the concentration of power would point things more toward four than five. And, you know, and that's the unfortunate thing. Even if you go back to the late 70s when the Big East was formed, I mean, you're going to have casualties in this thing. I mean, you're going to have people that don't have a place to sit down when the music stops. I mean, you nearly had that with Kansas when the Big 12 was on the cliff.
Right.
I mean, you think of, I mean, if you were to identify like the three or four basketball programs in the history of the game that are the most meaningful, I think Kansas would be on just about everybody's list somewhere.
No, they are the Kentucky of the Midwest.
That would have meant nothing.
Yeah, they're the Kentucky of the Midwest.
That would have meant nothing.
Right.
In terms of this, you know, and that's, to me, that's part of the gamble too, because I think a big part of the appeal of the college experience as opposed to the NFL or the NBA or the Major League Baseball experience is this notion that you can go back to campus and things are the way that they were.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. Hey, Malcolm, you know what? We have news coming up at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to need a favor. Just hold on. I want to finish this up with you after the news, because there's more I want to talk about, including this football team. So we're going to hold Malcolm Moran through the news break, bring him back for the final few minutes on the backside of this. But we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK as we continue on this Thanksgiving Eve right after this.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565 is powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to LenapeSolar.com. And we thank Malcolm Moran for hanging with us through the news. And just a few more questions, Malcolm, because there's still so much ground to cover. People feel that there's been gains financially, potentially, gains in viewership, cable homes, and so forth. But also some people feel things along the way nostalgically have been lost. How do you view that, starting with the Penn State move back in 93?
You know, obviously the Big Ten move for Penn State has benefited the institution in so many ways that have little or nothing to do with athletics, much less the athletic side. But there are still people in that fan base that, you know, that wish that the Pitt rivalry could have survived somehow. Right. You know, and now we're seeing Kansas-Missouri disappear, and we're going to see Carolina-Maryland or Duke-Maryland disappear. I mean, ultimately, and I think there's a cost in that in terms of the quality of the product and what it means to people. Just as, I mean, I can remember sitting in the office of Bob Devaney, I mean, the great Nebraska coach who became athletic director when he retired. And this was in the late 80s, and Nebraska was just starting to request that season ticket holders donate something in addition if they were in certain choice locations.
Their Nittany Lion Club, yeah.
Right. And this, at this point, it was just considered a request. And Devaney was really worried that even just making a request was going to change the nature of the relationship with the fan base and the people that follow that program. And I think that has happened. I mean, I think that's why we see coaches getting fired, perhaps prematurely, because of pressure on athletic directors and boards of trustees. We saw Frank Solich get fired at Nebraska after a 9-victory regular season. I mean, it's becoming much more like the pro model. And and to me, something is lost in that bridge.
One last question, but this will go off the topic we've been talking about. You mentioned we live in interesting times. Well, obviously, we've lived in interesting times here for almost 13 months. A senior class is going to run through the tunnel for the final time, a bunch of 22- and 23-year-olds. You have watched and you have covered 18- to 23-year-olds often in your career. You've covered professionals as well, but you've covered a lot of 18- to 23-year-olds in your career. What do you see in this group of 22- to 23-year-olds that probably separates them from others that you've seen along the way?
I don't think you have enough time, really, to describe it. I mean, I've covered a number of groups in different places that have faced challenging scenarios, you know, sometimes tragic. But I never covered a group that went through anything like this. I know I'm going to be there. And, I mean, I'm going to be driving a long way to get back, but I know where I'm going to be at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Right. It's, you know what, as I said to somebody the other day, And then I'll probably talk a little bit about this on Saturday. Now, in all this, and I want everyone to understand what I'm about to say here, because I do not want anybody to think that along the way the victims are not first and foremost in this, okay? Now, with that said, okay, this group, which has had nothing to do with anything except being student-athletes at a university, have had a lot taken from them along the way. They've had to endure the loss of their legendary coach. They've had to suddenly get used to a new coaching staff. They've had to go through a summer where suddenly they had sanctions. They had to go through a bowl game being taken away from them, seeing scholarships taken away, and they've seen an entity allow free agency that's taken their teammates away by their own choice. But one thing they've never been able to take away from this group, they've never been able to take away their integrity, their determination, their drive, and not once, no matter what's been taken from them, it's never taken away their heart.
Absolutely. And think, you know, and you get back to the educational experience. Think about how the maturity of the individuals and the collective maturity of the group will serve these people so well as they leave, as they grow, if some of them play at the professional level, but that, I mean, that's really not important. I mean, think about the people that they already are and the citizens that they're going to become, the leaders that they're going to become. I think Joe would be extremely proud of this group.
I think Joe would be extremely proud of this group, without question. I mean, what they've accomplished on the field, he would have been proud of. How they've handled themselves off the field, he would have been extremely proud of, because he always admired people who in times of crisis acted like men, and they have acted like men.
And you know that's what he was all about.
Yep. So, Malcolm, to you and yours, happy Thanksgiving. Indiana is richer for having you when you start in January. We'll be poorer for not having you, but again, friendships are a lifetime, and it's been very fortunate on my part to always call you friend.
Oh, thanks. Well, same here, Steve. And as I've pointed out to students, what I usually tell them on commencement day is that what they've achieved is mile one of the 50,000-mile warranty. And so that's not going to change. I mean, if they think I'm not going to be bugging them about, like, whatever the next thing is going to be, I mean, the only difference is there'll be a different email address, but nothing else will change.
Exactly right. Malcolm, thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, Steve.
Malcolm Moran joining us on the show with some very intriguing and interesting insights on expansion and also the senior class. And yes, Joe Paterno would have been very, very, very proud of how this senior class has conducted itself since his passing. We'll come back to wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, final segment of the show today. Tomorrow, Darryl Clark joins us on the show, the former Nittany Lion quarterback. Also, revisit with Jim Delaney, the Rutgers and Maryland moments this week, and we'll hear a little bit from Bill O'Brien, Patrick Chambers as well, a little bit from Matt McGloin, Jordan Hill, Stephon Morris, all part of the mix in tomorrow's show. Our number 1-800-795-9565. So what happens next? 14 is obviously not going to be the stopping number here. 16 seems to have been the goal the entire time for everybody involved. One thing for me that I consider to be for sure is that three conferences absolutely survive and thrive. The SEC, the Pac-12, the Big Ten. And I'll like clear up something quickly for everybody. And I've mentioned this before, but I always have to mention it. People go, well, gee, there are 14 teams in the Big Ten. Why are they called the Big Ten? The Big Ten is a corporate name. The actual name of the conference is the Big Ten Conference Incorporated. So the name Big Ten, okay, for the name of the incorporated conference is the same as 3M, Boeing, whatever. It's a corporate name. Right? So that, you know, that way you understand. That's why it's never changed. Now you have to ask, going to 16. Okay, I mentioned those three conferences, Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten. They survived no matter what. Now, I consider it to be the bloodbath between what happens between the Big 12 and the ACC. And Notre Dame started all this. They spurred all this on. What you saw with Maryland and Rutgers was started with this Notre Dame move to the ACC. And again, any time you make a move and you kowtow to an entity, okay, and show desperation, there's weakness within your ranks. The Big East did this with Notre Dame. It was a huge mistake. The ACC has done this with Notre Dame. It's a huge mistake. You have to look at the entity and say, you're either all in or all out. You can't just say, well, you know, we'll play five games with you and we'll let you have your basketball and you don't have to do anything else. You know, hey, you look at them and say, you're all in, all out. It's the way it has to be. It's why it's a conference. When you start letting people in and you have conditions for it, you become a league. It's what's killed the Big East forever. It's what's killed the Big East forever. I mean, there have been schools in the Big East that have been knocked out of pegging the bowl pairings because Notre Dame took the second spot. You're like, I always looked at that and thought, what kind of stupidity is this? Yeah, if I were part of that conference, I'd be doing everything I could to get out of it. Now Notre Dame is put in a very precarious position as they get ready for their $15 million game on Saturday night. Say $15 million game. Oh, let's remember this. If they win, and I think they will, I think Notre Dame's a good football team. Brian Kelly's done a great job with them. No ifs, ands, or buts. Great job with it. I love how they play defense. The Tao kid's really good. Fun to watch. And offensively, they're playing better in the last month. If Notre Dame wins, they go to the BCS championship game, and I guess they, what do you get, $19 million for that? Something like that. Ah, but if they lose, they'll still go to the BCS. But they'll be considered the second Big East team. It's the rule. They can't be the Big East champion. They're not competing in the Big East. So they're considered the second Big East team. They get $4 million. It's a $15 million game. Jack Swarbrick's been going down to the grotto every week lighting candles. But that's where they are. But when they made that move to the ACC, I think the Big Ten looked around and says, what the heck's going on here? What kind of move is that? So, you know what? He looked around and said, I'm going to protect my mid-Atlantic flank. Now Penn State's not the easternmost school in the conference in 19 months. You have some natural rivals put in there, but they're not done. So where to next? Normally, you know I don't speculate. Normally, you know on this show, after all the time I've done this show, I deal in hard facts, and then try to delineate opinion from facts. But let's read some tea leaves here. Maryland, again, now, how many people in Maryland watch college football? Or in the Beltway watch college football? How many in New Jersey? But when you're talking about 16 million households between New Jersey and the Beltway and Maryland itself, Baltimore, D.C., 16 million households, New Jersey, and D.C., Baltimore. Because they're now going to be in Big Ten network or Big Ten states, the fee triples, for customers that have the Big Ten Network on their cable system. The money flows, and that's what it comes down to. You know, but there are other things that have to fit as well. You just don't go out there and get Maryland Eastern Shore and say, look, I got Maryland, here we go. You know, you don't do that. You know, they went and they got Maryland at College Park. Great basketball program, really great in other sports. Football certainly has been a sense of mediocrity for a long time. Randy Etzel is a really good coach trying to change that. But they do bring with it a prestigious name and also academically very strong. Rutgers, academically very strong, fits the profile within the footprint, and at the same time, you know, has good facilities. Football stadium's very nice. Basketball, Lewis Brown Athletics under the rack needs some work. And again, don't underestimate the fact that News Corp, which is the parent corporation of Fox, Wall Street Journal, and also Fox has 51% of the Big Ten Network, they just bought a minority stake in Yes Network, which carries the Yankees and the Brooklyn Nets. Don't underestimate that part. Now there could be some grouping and coupling between Yes and the Big Ten Network when they go to cable systems. That's what, you know, and again, that part of it makes this move huge financially. Now, where to next? You know, I don't deal in speculation, but now we're going to have a little fun. You didn't think I was capable of fun. Okay? Most likely candidates. There are a lot of people that would say, all right, now go after Notre Dame. Look, if they're not going to bring their football in, forget it. You have to be all in. Texas, Longhorn Network is certainly the stunning thing is the Longhorn Network is not a big success. I mean, it's stunning. I mean, when I heard that, I went, oh, brother, of all the states that have an all-access Texas channel, I said, that thing's gonna kill down there. Nope. But again, Texas, like Notre Dame, brings baggage. That Longhorn Network is baggage. And their demands financially are baggage. So now let's get a little more realistic. If you can't hit it out of the park with Notre Dame and Texas, and they would be, no doubt, they'd be two grand slams. Where do you go? I vote 15 as being Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech delivers with it the Atlanta market. Tremendous. High-profile businesses in the Atlanta market, including Coca-Cola. Right? They're not a long-term member of the ACC. They've only been there since 79. They're not a candidate to go to the SEC. Georgia's not going to allow that. Georgia's there. They're not going to allow Georgia Tech into the SEC. They will fight it with everything they have. Great academic school. AAU member. I mean, great academic school, Georgia Tech. And a good enough athletic program. Really good baseball. Good basketball. Good football. They bring a lot to the table. And the Atlanta market, huge. Now, if that's the case, where do you go for 16? My vote? University of North Carolina. You're saying, oh, well, they would never leave Duke. Oh, please. You can romanticize that into the ground. Now, North Carolina obviously has multiple problems to deal with right now, including that academic scandal, which is ugly. But it is in a growth area that Jim Delaney, of course, you know, and we know Jim Delaney, you know, he played basketball for Dean Smith. But that's not going to enter into this. This is going to enter into business sense. Okay? The triangle, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, population growth has gone crazy down there. North Carolina delivers the entire state. I mean, you know, Wake Forest. I mean, Duke is a national entity. It's not really a local entity. And North Carolina delivers that state unlike North Carolina State or Wake Forest can. They just can't do it. North Carolina delivers that entire state from Charlotte to Asheville to Wilmington to Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. Okay? And they deliver the triangle. where population has really exploded. And we know what they bring to the table. We know their basketball is among the best in the country. Football-wise, they would be middle to lower the pack, without a doubt. But you know, in the move to 16, where do you go? And I know every state within the 14-school blueprint of the Big Ten right now, they're all connected geographically. Maryland borders Pennsylvania, New Jersey borders Pennsylvania, which borders Ohio, which borders Michigan, which borders Illinois and Indiana, and borders Wisconsin, which borders Iowa, which borders Nebraska, which borders, you know, and of course Iowa borders Minnesota. So all they're all connected. These would be two schools that would not be geographically connected. But at this point, where do you go? Syracuse is geographically connected because New York borders Pennsylvania. Okay. And then you have Boston College. Okay, because they would be, you know, if you went BC, Syracuse, Massachusetts to New York, to Pennsylvania. And again, everything's still connected. But if you want to really take it and knock it out of the park, I think Georgia Tech has to be the one that you look at. And if you're going to talk, you have to put them in the conversation first. The Atlanta market is valuable, and they fit the profile. North Carolina, with the triangle, fits it as well. As Malcolm Moran said at the beginning, and the great Chinese philosopher once said, may you live in interesting times. We live in interesting times. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Darryl Clark will be on the show with us on News Radio 1070 WKOK.